Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I wasn't crazy about the outcome of the game, but I always love listening to Len Casper and DJ.
Yes, and Connor. I like Connor, too.
Yeah. So, while waiting to go on, you could cut the tension in the studio with a knife. Tension was coming from multi-corners.
It was.
There were the people who have listened to us for 50 years, but because there was a sporting event on, they were never going to listen to us again.
This is true.
Because WGN Radio has never, ever broadcast sporting events.
Right. And we did warn you guys last week.
Yeah.
We said, coming up this week, it'll be a little bit different.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, it's going to happen again next Saturday. But that's it. Okay?
And again, we're huge fans of Len Casper and DJ. They're terrific broadcasts. But that was only one part of the tension. The other part of the tension was, you know, when inanimate objects revolt.
Yes.
Johnny got a new cell phone.
Yes.
Her old cell phone knows that she got a new cell phone.
And you're making fun of the fact that my old cell phone, which I had with me with all of my stuff for tonight's show, decided to turn into a paperweight on the way to work.
Yep.
So everything, including GPS, because we like to see what's up ahead as we're driving into work, taking pictures on the phone so that I can post them. See, now you got me started. I'm just really
so, so the
happy.
Pictures that you will see if you go to our Facebook page, that's facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, you will see they were taken with my phone.
Watch it.
Not while I was driving, but I was driving and Johnny was using my phone to take the pictures. So again, there was a tension-filled studio.
But relax. We're going to have fun for the next 4 hours.
Relax.
Oh, I shouldn't say that word. Sorry. Well, we have people listening to us all over the country. I like to think they tuned in for us and not the Cubs and Sox game, but you never know.
Who knows? Okay, we got a lot of stuff going on tonight, and we'll take a break. More coming up at WGN. Stay with us.
There goes another summer, back to school again. No more sloppy clothes, driving shows, sleeping till after 10. There goes summer, back to school again. Goodbye, summer vacation, driving's and staying out late. Now we're doing our best to pass our test so we can graduate. There goes summer, back to school again. I'll spend Friday night at my girl's house, trying to steady some. But with the hugging and the dancing and the smooching and romancing, ain't much homework getting done. Goodbye, summer vacation, driving's and staying out late. Now we're doing our best to pass our tests so we can graduate. There goes summer, back to school again.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
Why are we talking over my favorite singer in the whole wide world?
Oh, then should we shut up?
Another summer, drive-ins and staying out late. Now we're doing our best to pass our tests so we can graduate. There goes summer, back to school again. There goes summer, back to school again.
Yeah, I think I'll take him home tonight.
Okay, I think he's easy. He'll go home with you.
He is easy? Oh, good. All right. What year was that?
I'm trying to think. I recorded that back in about 1961 or 1962, something like that.
Is this the very first time it's been played on WGN? It may be.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo-hoo! And this is the time of year.
It only took 60 years.
Yeah. This is the time of year that I would have been getting so depressed. Of course, back when things were the way things were supposed to be, you didn't go back to school till the day or two after Labor Day.
Yeah. And how many people have you seen on Facebook talking about the kids have gone back to school? And it just, as much as I loved school, no, this was a little early. Granted, we didn't get out until late June.
Yeah.
The kids that are going back to school now get out in May. But it just kind of, it's hard to
back when the
get
world
used to
was
that.
Right.
Yes.
summer vacation began. I want to say it was around the 23rd of June, and then you went back to school a day or
sounds
two
right.
after Labor Day.
Yep, yep. Keeper of the big plug, Bob Fukuda's in the studios. That was the way it was when you were going to school, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But what's this getting up at 10, after 10? Jeez. Nowadays, kids are lucky if they get up before noon.
Yeah.
The line in the song. Yeah. You know, back then, you got up at 10 and you had to go shovel coal or something, right?
That's right.
Paper route, something.
Paper, yeah. So
and,
10
and
was
walk
late.
Uphill in the snow both ways to school.
Carrying a boiled
waist
egg.
High.
Yes.
Yes. Uphill both directions. You're right.
But it's weird to see some of the ads cropping up now and just a back to school sales.
Well, combine that with football today.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, I want to hang on to a little bit more of summer because I felt like I just stepped into summer and boom.
Yeah.
It's
and it looks like we've got some great days ahead of us.
Well, I'm not complaining about the weather. Today was glorious. Absolutely the best day ever. I got out in the yard, did a little digging, a little deadheading, and stood back and went, okay, I still have some things alive. I'd love to share some pictures of some of those things, but my stupid phone!
What are you trying to say?
thanks to a listener who wanted us to know that Mercury is in retrograde, so be careful. Communication is tough when Mercury is in retrograde.
Especially with a dead phone.
Oh, thank you, Bob, my friend. You know what? It's a big phone, too, if I threw it.
Yeah, it might hurt.
It might hurt. It might leave a mark if I got you.
Especially since it has turned into a brick.
That's right. Hi, Julian.
Well, hello. Are you taking your blood pressure medication?
I don't have a blood pressure. Well, I actually do have a low blood pressure problem, so yeah. This is probably good for me. Get my blood pressure. Get a little color in my cheeks, right? Yes,
we're just doing this to aggravating you to make you healthier.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Look, I'm sitting here with my hands clenched. Yes. And this is not a good sign. Well, how was your night, Julian?
I mean, the Sox lost, but, you know, we'll get over it.
Yeah, we'll get over
it. No, just kidding. They'll lose the next, like, 20 games.
But objectively, and this has been one of the worst seasons ever for the Sox. Boy, there is something nobody said yet. But yesterday, that was an exciting game. Tonight, what we saw was a pretty cool game. I kind of like it. It's almost as if there's a little bit of a different atmosphere. You have a new interim manager, and three or four coaches that have been changed?
Yeah. It was a big deal. Very big deal. Yeah. And it really felt like Friday night's game was a, whoa, things have changed, and they gave it their all. It was a good game. It was a fun game. Not the first few innings, but it got really
good. And whether you like baseball or don't like baseball or like the Cubs or Sox, the atmosphere when the Cubs and the Sox play, it is a World Series championship atmosphere.
Sold
it doesn't matter if they're going to be at the Sox Park or Cubs Park. It will be sold out.
Yep.
And it's an electric atmosphere, and that's cool.
Bob, did I over... I think I overheard you say something about them having Sunday off, that this is what, the first
they
time?
They said the first... I heard that one of the announcers say it was the first Sunday off for the White Sox since 1954.
Well, I'd like to suggest they go to church.
Well, they said the last time they had a Sunday off, they had a grill out at Nellie Fox's house.
Oh, my gosh. Nellie Fox. Even I know that was a while back. Wow. But, you know, the day off, if they went to church as a group, it might help.
There could be worse ideas.
It couldn't hurt, exactly.
Hey, Ron, how are you doing tonight?
I just wanted to add that I heard that if the White Sox win every game for the rest of the year, they'll still be like 9 games under .500.
Yeah.
So that's
absolutely true.
But I do agree that they played well yesterday. And they played good today.
Mm-hmm.
They missed a couple of scoring opportunities. So, you know, it's a long season, and the teams are out there trying to win. I don't see anybody out there not trying to win.
Well,
so.
Actually, it looked like for a while there, watching the Sox games, that they weren't trying.
There were a few players.
They were just sitting there going, okay, it's the seventh inning. We're going to fail miserably anyway. So let's just
That was one of the fun things about Friday's game, because usually the Sox run out of gas about the seventh inning.
Yeah.
But yesterday, they were in it right till the last out. And
it was
that was kind of cool to see.
Yeah. I was worried as a Cubs fan. I was like, what's going on here? What's going on here? So, and that made it a good game to the last out. So.
But you're happy now, she said.
Well, they swept all four games. I'm happy because I want to see the Cubs have a strong second half, and I think that they do have a good team. So nothing against the Sox. It's just that... You know, you want to see the Cubs win.
And
they've got a pretty, I wouldn't say easy schedule, but it's not as challenging as it's been before, the Cubs. I think they play the Cleveland Indians, but after that, most of the teams that they play in the month are under .500. So,
speaking of schedule, did you hear what Bob was telling us earlier? I guess next year the Crosstown Series is going to be 6 games instead of 4?
Oh, I didn't know that, no. That's great, though.
I hear all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
But is any of it true?
Well, the schedule is out. I mean, I can check it. I just didn't realize that they had added a couple of games.
Okay, everybody. We're going to stop talking about baseball before you get to your phone, 312-981-7200, and start texting. And I am answering your texts, and I am being polite. And we told you there's only 2 games tonight and next Saturday night. It's an agreement, right, Bob, with the other radio station. When they have a conflict, then we pick it up. And we occasionally have conflicts with Northwestern and the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
And when that happens, another station helps us out. That's just the way it works.
And you know, thank you so much for listening to us and for wanting to hear us. But if a sports broadcast causing us to come on a little late destroys your life, then you need to get another life. I'm sorry.
A listener, an 815 listener has a good suggestion. Not only should they go to church, but they should volunteer to serve breakfast at the church. Gotta do something.
That'll get them some points, yeah.
That's right.
We should mention some of what we have coming up tonight. In just a few minutes, we're going to be talking with a guy who was part of one of the all-time classic television shows,
yep.
Lassie, John Provost.
Oh, yes. He was the second.
Yeah. Tommy Reddick was the first.
But he's the one I know and love, and I'm so happy to talk with him. And he's going to be at the Wheaton All-Night Flea Market next weekend, next Saturday. So we'll talk about that, but we're going to talk about Lassie.
And also a little later tonight, our resident Beatleologist, author Wally Bedrajic, is going to join us live from the Fest for Beatles Fans, mm-hmm. which is going on this weekend. And it to me, I think this is a major weekend because they've got one of the Monkees at the Fest for Beatles Fan. How cool is that?
They've got a great lineup.
It's a wonderful lineup.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that then a little later. Tom Appel from Consumer Guide will be joining us, and that's just a
well. We're going to talk about the Air and Water Show too.
Yes,
yeah, a little early this year because of the DNC coming in town.
Mm-hmm. So. And this is. Do you want to get into that now or
well,
later?
It's just it's our anniversary.
It is a 42nd anniversary for us because it was 42 years ago for the Air and Water Show, not this specific date, but 42 years ago. That Johnny and I were broadcasting for then WIND from Oak Street Beach, covering the Air and Water Show.
I was wearing white short shorts.
I remember. Clearly.
And it was love right there.
We had been working at the station for a while, and they'd thrown us together on various promotions. But there was something about that day, and when the two of us were walking back home or back to the radio station from Oak Street Beach, we kind of realized something's going on here. Mm-hmm. And at that point, Johnny had a boyfriend. I was going through divorce. The last thing on either of our minds was a relationship with anybody new, and all of a sudden we became aware, you know, something's happening here.
And 42 years later, whoever thought that we would be saying, yeah, it was 42 years ago that we were walking down Michigan Avenue, and then if we were in a comic strip, there'd be like little hearts and stars, and little bluebirds would be following us down Michigan Avenue.
We need to put a link up on our Facebook page to a blog post that we did a couple years ago. And it has pictures from that day. One of the pictures was, and I know we've talked about this before, but not everybody listens to every show.
Yes.
Save
it for later. That'll make them stick around.
All right.
Now that we've pulled them in after the baseball, we'll get them to stick around, okay?
Okay. That works for me.
Listener wants to know, this is Dave from Oak Park. Do we have any audio from the days of broadcasting at the Air and Water Show? I wish we did.
You know, I'm.
I would really.
I may have.
You probably
some of
do
that.
Have it. Yeah.
And that. I'm going to do a segue, and we hadn't talked about this, but I'm going to do a segue for a second. But having audio from those days reminds me. I have a ton of audio from our days at WIND. One of the reasons I have that is because the general manager at that time, Dave Graves, was nice enough. When the radio station was sold, and I talked to him about, because I had just I archive everything, and I said, is it okay if I use this at some point? And he was nice enough to write out, because everything has to be legalese, and he wrote out a document giving me permission to use the audio of any of the interviews and any of the shows that I recorded over there. And I mentioned that because, sadly, Dave Graves just passed away this week.
Yeah.
He was a giant in broadcasting. He was a nice, nice man.
With Westinghouse Broadcasting, primarily.
I'll give you a little example, and this will, for people who have negotiated contracts, you'll appreciate this. I was negotiating a contract with WIND. This was after I'd been there for several years, and my contract was up and negotiating a new contract. And they had a new clause that said, that a lot of radio stations did, saying, if we fire you, you can't work, or if you leave us, you can't work for any radio station
right.
within X number of miles
for
a period of years. And we're talking, and I said, Dave, I said, I like everything else about the contract, but I don't care for that. I said, now, if you could do something like, if you choose to enforce that clause, you pay me for every week that you enforce that clause at my current salary. And Dave didn't pause. He said, fine, done. And I said, okay.
So you went to work every day saying, maybe this will be my last day and I can stay home and get paid.
He was a really good man.
Yeah, he was.
A brilliant broadcaster.
Hired me we didn't have women working at the radio station at the time, and he took a chance on me, and
yeah,
that was pretty cool. He was a really nice man, and he was probably in his 70s when he passed.
I think so.
Yeah. Had a great career in radio, too.
And as our former program director, Susan Eggleton, now Susan Moran, pointed out, Dave Graves was one of the first people she knew to have a computer.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, this would have been...
80s.
I started working for them back in about 78. And he was already into... Computers are coming out. I want to be aware
Amazing.
Of what this is all
about.
I didn't
about. Know that.
Yeah.
Probably took up a closet in his office. It was so big. We're going to take a break. Coming up, we're going to talk with John Provost from Lassie. Timmy from Lassie here on WGN.
Starring June Lockhart, Hugh Riley, John Provost as Timmy, and of course, Lassie.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and boy, does that audio take me back to a very special, special time.
How surprising. I actually felt a little tear because it takes me back to those wonderful days, that half hour every week, mm-hmm. watching the most famous dog ever on television.
I got to say hi to Lassie in person
you
one
did.
Time.
Yes. And beside Lassie was the cutest, sweetest little face belonging to John Provost as Timmy. John, how are you tonight?
Hi, I'm doing great. And, you know, your comments at the opening of the show, when I was listening to the theme, guess what? I went back there, too.
Yeah. Oh, golly. You started on Lassie. I mean, you were just a little guy. Weren't you 7 years old when you started?
I did. I started Lassie when I was seven. But a lot of people don't realize is I was a seasoned actor by then.
Yes.
My first movie, I was not quite 3 years old.
That's amazing. Who were you in?
No,
minor cast, right, that you were in that movie?
Yeah, the first one was So Big with Jane Wyman and Sterling Hayden.
Mm-hmm.
I was just almost 3 years old. My second movie was The Country Girl with Bing Crosby and Grace Kelly.
Yeah.
How?
She won the Academy Award for that.
Let me pause you on that, because you were very young when you did that. Were you aware of the fame of a Grace Kelly or a Bing Crosby? How did that impact you at all at that age and that point in your career?
That's right where I was going. You know what, Steve? I don't remember a thing. My first two movies, I have no recollection at all. But when you think about it, you know, Johnny, do you remember something when you were 3 years old? You know, we just don't. But then that went on. My third movie, which was called All Mine to Give, and that's when I started to remember. But you mentioned earlier that I started Lassie when I was seven. I did about 10 movies before Lassie. And as a matter of fact, when the part for Timmy was coming up, you know, Tommy Reddick, he played Jeff
yeah.
right.
On the show for 3 years. Tommy was 17. He wanted out. And so the producers were looking for a very young boy to take, to replace Tommy, because they were getting rid of this character. And evidently they had interviewed hundreds of little boys, couldn't find the right kid. And I was doing a movie for RKO in 1956 in Japan. It was the last RKO movie. It starred Teresa Wright and Cameron Mitchell and an unknown by the name of Clint Eastwood. And I got billing. He didn't even get billing in the movie. How crazy is that?
Wow.
But so my mother and I spent 3.5 months in Japan in 1956 filming this movie called Escapade in Japan. And it was one of the first American movies filmed in Japan after the war. Oh, yeah. You know, it's only, what, I guess, maybe 11 years after the war ended.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and, you know, I'm 6 years old, 3.5 months. I remember everything. It was incredible. But to get back to Lassie, so they're looking for this kid. They can't find him. The producer of Lassie is having dinner, lunch. The two wives are having dinner, and it comes up, you know, what's going on? Well, we're looking for a kid for Lassie. We can't find him. Well, what are you looking for? She described me and said, oh, well, he's in Japan right now filming a movie for us. And so they went and saw some of the old movies I had done and the dailies from Japan. And they said, yes, that's the kid we want.
Hmm.
So when I got back from Japan, I didn't have to interview anything. I went to the studios, and they said, yes, you're the kid. We know you can act. You're cute. All of that fun stuff. Well, hey, I have to admit.
You were cute.
Sure.
Yeah.
It ain't bragging if you've done it.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
And, you know, and I did what I was supposed to do, and that's why I was working at such a young age. And so, but the dilemma they had was, we've got a big dog here that's used to working with another boy, an older boy, and now we've got this little kid. How are they going to get along? So, because, you know, obviously you couldn't fake that relationship between the boy and the dog. It had to be there. So I went and lived with Red Weather Wax, the owner of Lassie.
Yeah.
He had a 60-acre ranch out in the San Fernando Valley.
Mm-hmm.
I went out and spent a long weekend at the ranch. We came back to the studios the following Monday, walked into the producer's office, and Lassie gave me 2 paws up, and I got the job.
Oh, okay, I got goosebumps. That is such a cool story.
I had always been raised around dogs. I didn't have a problem, you know, with it, but they just didn't know how Lassie would accept me.
Well, sure.
You know?
And
because, you know, we did everything, but so that's the backstory.
Yeah.
Well, I have to share with you, I was with Lassie from the beginning. I was a huge Tommy Rettig fan, and the mm-hmm. episode where Tommy leaves and Lassie is turned over to you, that was an emotional point in my life.
Yes.
And because I was saying, okay, now am I going to like this new kid? And you made it so easy to find a relationship with you, and not only Lassie, but the viewers, too. You really made that a comfortable transition.
Well, the producers were real. Nobody knew. They thought that, oh, boy, you know, everybody's used to this older boy. And I watched the show just like you, Steve, when Tommy was on it, never, you know, dreaming that I would be there. But they were very nervous about how this little boy would be accepted. And as you say, you know, obviously everybody fell for it and they loved it. And, you know, that started the next 7 years.
Well, 7 years.
We're going to pause there. And as we pause, we want to remind everybody that you'll be able to see John at the world-famous Wheaton, Illinois All-Night Flea Market next Saturday, August 17th.
Starts at 3 in the afternoon. It goes to 1 in the morning. John will be there. And we're going to come back after a break, and I got to find out if he ever really fell in a well, because that's one of the great, great
right.
stories of television history. And we've got John Provost with us coming back after this on WGN.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Now, I have to do a little play-by-play here. We're talking with John Provost from the classic Lassie TV series. And John, you need to know that as we're talking right now, Johnny has teared up because that was the ending credit theme where Lassie raised his paw, and every time Johnny sees that, she tears up.
I cried as a child. I would just sit on the floor, and back in the day when you'd scoot up real close to the TV, and sometimes your legs would be under the TV, and I remember my mother would come up behind me, and she'd drag me back, and she said, he'll be back next week, don't worry.
I know. Well, you know, we were one of the first series to start. We'll have the conclusion next weekend.
Yes.
The next show.
Yes.
And when we did the first one, they got letters that kids from the parents saying, my kids, they couldn't wait until they had to know the ending.
Yes.
They couldn't wait. Why are you doing this to us?
Well, that's great. Now, I said before we took a break that Timmy fell in the well. That is one of those
great. Or did he?
That's one of those great, great stories of television history. And your book is Timmy's in the Well, the John Provost story. Now, I feel like I saw it. I know I saw you in that well, and Lassie saved you. But I didn't, did
I? Okay. No, here's the story. You know, I thought I had fallen in a well at some point because I've heard that over and over again my entire life. Luckily, my mother saved a copy of every script. I did 249 half-hour episodes in 7 years. So when Lori and I sat down, Lori, my wife, who's the author, I'm dyslexic, so I'm not good at writing things down, but I have good my memory's really good.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought I had, but then we got all the scripts, and then at the front cover of every script was a synopsis of the whole story, so it told you what happened. Timmy never did I fell into, you know, abandoned mine shafts, off cliffs, into rivers, into culverts, even quicksand, which I don't even think that really exists, but I never did fall in a well. And we don't really know where that catchphrase came from. Everybody knows it. It's, you know, it's universal. I mean, what Johnny Carson used to say it, you know, all the time, and Jay Leno, and even Colbert now. I mean, his show was and it'll go on forever. But yeah, we had to call the book that because I didn't fall in a well. I stumbled a few times and things like that. So, you know, it was just appropriate.
But I've got to say, quicksand on a farm is one of the craziest things that they ever came up with.
Yeah, and that always blows me away when I watch an old episode.
Yeah.
In one scene, it'll be kind of deserty, and then the next scene, it'll be redwoods, and then in the next scene, it'll be oak trees. And we just had a little farm, folks. We weren't all over the world, but it sure did seem that way.
Yeah.
I have to ask you, all these years later, are you amazed at the affection your fans have for that part of your life?
100%. 100%. We didn't have a clue, you know, back in the day that people would be watching black and white half-hour episodes. Right now, it's still on in over 60 countries. I get emails from my website from all over. And, you know, the reason is, and it's not just us, it's, you know, my three sons, Leave It to Beaver, a lot of those shows. They were quality shows. There was always some moral, something, you know, happened. I mean, Timmy wasn't the smartest kid. He got into trouble. He did things. But he always learned from his mistakes. He never talked back to his parents. And it was either, you know, Timmy and Lassie saved an animal or a person, or they got saved or something. So there was, you know, that's, I think, the reason. You know, and you take little kids now. It's amazing. They will watch black and white, you know, and they'll watch the old shows.
Yeah. There is, in fact,
it was because of the quality.
On Roku TV, there is a Lassie channel, which I'm thrilled to find out about. A listener just texted us that. Yeah.
Yeah, I just heard about that. And I believe there's also a Samsung has something, and that's a full channel, a Lassie channel. So, Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, I have to ask, do you benefit from these shows being in rerun?
Not at all. It wasn't in our contracts. And this is not just us, but all of those shows from that era. Basically, what we had, they covered us for 3 reruns, and that was it.
Ah.
So I have not gotten a residual check from Lassie in over 50 years.
For the 3,000 wow. Plus reruns.
You know, it's been on constantly.
Yeah.
And just locally, I mean, on our local cable networks, it's on over a half a dozen, or close to a dozen of those. So,
wow.
All of those old shows, when you're, watching... Dennis the Menace or My Three Sons or Leave It to Beaver. I mean, like Jerry Mathers, the Beaver, okay?
Yeah.
We're good friends. Same thing. No, he doesn't get anything for those shows.
Wow.
So that's just, the way it is.
We should mention, if anybody wants to get more information, they should go to johnprovost.com. That's your website. And people can see you Saturday, August 17th. At the world-famous Wheaton, Illinois All-Night Flea Market. So much of your life, understandably, is tied to that part of your life. But I want to take you in a different direction. Putting Lassie aside, just for a second, what is the highlight of your life that doesn't involve Lassie?
Kids. I didn't have to think a lot past that. No, just having...
Two kids.
Two wonderful children, mm-hmm. and, 3 wonderful grandkids, and, life,
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's it. I mean, let's go down the road. My work over the years for animals, for animal
yes.
rights,
mm-hmm.
for service animals, for our war dogs. I have been involved in all, and that's my entire life. And if I can just quickly, when we were filming Lassie, we worked 9 months out of the year to film. 1 month, at the 10th month, Lassie and I would travel the country and go to all the major, hubs, New York, Chicago, Dallas, wherever, and promote the show because there were only 3 networks. Red Weatherwax, the owner of Lassie, and we're talking the late 50s, early 60s. If there was a children's hospital in that town, he would insist that Lassie and I go and see the kids.
Oh.
Now, I'm, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, seeing kids my age that have polio or have been in a horrible auto accident or were burnt up, scarred in a house fire. When Lassie and I would walk into that hospital room, those kids would go to a different place,
mm-hmm.
a good place.
Mm-hmm.
They would, for a moment, forget their pain and their hurt. And that, I think, was one big gift that I was given.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, and that just showed, what a great guy Rudd was, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew what he was. And there were no service dogs back then, only guide dogs for the blind. And they didn't let dogs in the hospitals. They didn't let little kids into the hospitals
yeah.
that weren't supposed to be there. But they would let Lassie and I in.
Wow.
So that's super special. Yeah, that's super special.
We just have a couple seconds left in this segment of the show. John, how many Lassies were there that you worked with?
We only had one Lassie at a time,
mm-hmm.
Not 5 dogs doing different things. Lassie did have a double, a stand-in, as everyone did. And in my 7 years, I worked with 3 Lassies. I worked with Tommy's dog, who was the son of, and all the Lassies are males, and all are directly related from the original
mm-hmm.
Al, who was in the movie Lassie Come Home.
Yeah.
So I worked with Tommy's dog for 1 year, and then his son took over. But we had a little accident on the set. He wasn't physically hurt, but emotionally he was scarred. And so then he was replaced by his son. And so of the 3, I worked 1 year, 1 year, and then the last dog, my favorite, I worked with him for 5 years. So we grew up together. I mean, I loved that dog. He Aww. Loved me. We ate together. We slept together. We did it all. And except if I asked him to do something, to sit, shake my hands or whatever, he'd look at me and say, "Hey, you're my buddy. picture, not my print.
Oh, that's great. John,
I'm serious.
Be prepared. Be prepared next week to get a whole lot of love from your fans out at the Wheaton, Illinois All-Night Flea Market.
I'm so looking forward to it. And when people say, you're going to a flea market, well, geez, yeah, you'll be home by noon.
It's huge.
It's a whole other ball game.
Yep.
Have you ever been to this flea market?
It's so much fun.
Yes. Years ago, it was quite some time ago. I remember, but I know it's gonna probably be a lot bigger than it was before.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
I hope the next time we talk, we can get you in studio, John.
Oh, thank you so much, John. Oh,
that would be super. Yeah, thank you very much.
Take care. Bye bye now.
John Provost. He sounds. I want to meet him.
I know. Well, I'm not so sure. I'd probably freak out. So maybe not a good idea.
We got a lot more coming up. Stay with us at WGN Radio. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Was it really 60 years ago the Beatles first appeared on Ed Sullivan's show?
Yep, sure enough.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, let's forget about that. We don't want to look back. We're looking forward because there's a whole lot of fun going on this weekend at the Hyatt Regency O'Hare. 50 years since the first Beatles Fest. Yikes! This is the Chicago Fest, and this gives us an excuse to talk to our friend, author, television historian, and Beatleologist, Wally Petrajic. How are you, Wally?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me over.
Well, thank you. Are you having a good time?
Oh, yeah. I'm sitting here, actually, in the quietest room I could find, because everyone has gone to the main ballroom to see the closing show, the live Beatles concert by the sound-alike band Liverpool, with extended sets by special guests, Mickey Dolenz, Randy and Tal Bachman,
wow.
Billy J. Kramer, Lawrence Juber and Steve Holly, former members of Wings, who are doing a Wings tribute to fellow-winged Denny Lane.
My.
So there's still a lot taking us past the midnight hour.
Yeah.
But I'm just wrapping up a very full day.
Every fest for Beatles fans is always an event, but am I wrong in thinking that this year is particularly notable because at the fest for Beatles fans, you have one of the Monkees?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and of course, Mickey Dolenz, one of the Monkees, has particularly Beatles-relevant stories that he shares, plus the fact that he enjoys performing with the band, doing vocals on songs that we know and love. And he had, in the Sgt. Pepper era, gone to England, mixed it up with the Fabs, and he got an early listen to the then-in-development Sgt. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a fan of the Monkees TV show, they got their okay to include the song Good Morning, Good Morning in the Beatles recording of Good Morning, Good Morning in a Monkees episode, which John Lennon had once said that song was inspired by cornflakes commercials and such.
Yeah.
And, well, it was.
Yeah.
And Kellogg's used to be a sponsor later on, appropriately, for the Monkees Saturday morning reruns.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, so he has his tales. And if you've ever heard the Monkees song from the Headquarters album, it was released as a single in Great Britain called Alternate Title.
Mm-hmm.
The actual title of it is called Randy Scouse Git. I think we in the U.S. could say it. But they called him and said, well, we want to release it as a single, but we can't say Randy Scouse Git.
Mm-hmm.
We need an alternate title. And so he said, well, that's the title, Alternate Title. So he had a top 10 hit in Great Britain with Alternate Title.
Wow.
And so, and basically, it was a good time to be a Monkee in Great Britain, visiting the Fabs at one of their many heights of influence and popularity. Mm-hmm. When you're talking the roughly the Sergeant Pepper era, and so they're talking shop in effect, because the Monkees were also at the height of their
right.
popularity. Even, frankly, on the Billboard album charts, if you're looking at, oh, Sgt. Pepper must have been the number one album that year. Well, no, it actually was more of the Monkees.
Yep.
And that was a special treat to have Mickey. He's done a couple visits to Chicago and other fest sites. And it's, you know, it's a good time. And when you're saying, is this a particularly good time, there's a lot of honest, reflective appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to be there originally. You could be a 16-year-old fan now, hear the stories, listen to the music, and appreciate what it was all about. So without embarrassment, like, oh, it's old stuff and all.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's music. Mm-hmm. And it's music we like. And as I've told a number of people who've asked, well, why do you keep coming back? What is it about the fest? And it's, you're with kindred spirits.
Yeah.
And even though I do trivia, for instance, I was trying to explain my approach to trivia. And it's like, it's not I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to get you to tap the memories that you may not even realize you have to answer a question. For instance, one of the questions I tossed out as a sample question was, coming in cold, well, so how long is the book in Paperback Writer?
Oh.
So how long is it?
Okay. It took years to write, based on... It's going to take me forever to go through the lyrics.
Okay. It's 1,000 pages. Give or take a few. That's the lyric line.
Okay.
And people say, okay, it's not an unfair question
yeah.
because I know it. But everybody does exactly what you were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got to get to the line.
Yeah.
Because we are not AI databases. We are people who are tapping good memories, pleasant experiences, and love the excuse to do that.
And how cool is it that I would venture to say everyone in your audience did just what I did? The song starts playing on the jukebox in their head.
Mind. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a wonderful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's one of the ways I sort of break the ice with the trivia and all, is to get people to be thinking about songs. And then you go to particular moments, like which Beatle visited the site of the set of Happy Days back in the 70s.
I think that was Lennon, wasn't it?
Henry Winkler. Absolutely was Lennon.
Ching, ching.
And he brought son Julian with. So
yes.
they were thrilled to go to a Hollywood set of one of their favorite shows.
Oh.
And the cast was thrilled that John Lennon
yeah.
was visiting their sites. So there's a lot of celebration.
I mean,
it really is celebration. And I get such a kick out of being a part of it. Sweetness and light, so to speak.
Oh.
Well, what are you looking forward to tomorrow? It has been, every day has had a lot of exciting things. What's on your radar for tomorrow?
Well, on my radar, first of all, just as people are planning their day, let's see. Musically, of course, Billy J. Kramer is still around, recording new music and definitely embracing the music that inspired the Beatles himself, etc. So there's going to be voices from Liverpool, Billy J. Kramer, a woman by the name of Frida Kelly, who was the head of the Beatles fan club, and Julie Evans. The daughter of Mal Evans, and if you've seen both the re-release of the Let It Be movie and Peter Jackson's lengthy Get Back miniseries, Mal Evans was Mal. Mal was always there with them, and he's been departed since the 70s, but he kept a diary. No, not a diary. He continuously kept diaries. He kept the ultimate. He was both a fan and a participant. And so a gentleman by the name of Ken Womack, who's done a number of books, is collaborating with the Evans estate, Evans family, has turned out one book, and they have other projects already. So they're going to be talking about their dad. There's also Randy Bachman and Tal Bachman, who are curators of appreciation of Beatles music.
Mm-hmm.
Bachman's No Music. And then for me personally, one of somebody who was involved in a Lennon, the Mobster, and the Lawyer is the book he wrote about that famous John Lennon the ripoff, unauthorized use of his rock and roll tracks called the Roots album.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who led John through a successful suit against the people who absconded or who said, oh, no, we've got the right to release it. More trivia for me, name that tune. And I also should mention we have great discussions, too, of topics that we can go and dig deep with fellow Beatle fans. And always, always music in
yeah.
the hallways, around the corners, and multiple stages. We have a main stage, but we have something called the Apple Jam stage, and it's the Beatles ukulele sing-along, Beatles polka band, Beatles on acoustic. It's just all over the place, and it is all a celebration of what's good about us and the pop culture that we have been part of.
Well, the exciting thing, though, is you've actually watched generations come to the fest.
Oh,
because they've grown
yeah.
up coming, right?
Oh, yeah. And, in fact, that was one of the panels I was leading was the multi-generational fan panel.
Oh.
As we discuss a common moment that the newest generation shared with us first generation, and that was the Now and Then release.
Mm-hmm.
All of us got to hear a new Beatles record that we hadn't heard before, and we heard it together for the first time, and then talked about it.
That's cool.
And reacted to it.
Yeah.
And went and got our copies.
Oh, that's
we got
really...
it is a little different, but you know, yeah. we all got them.
We got to mention too that there's a marketplace. So if you're a collector, you might find mm-hmm. something you can't live without. Right, that continues on Sunday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there are many authors who not only bring their books for you to have the opportunity to purchase, but to talk about those as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if all of that seems a little wow, there's so much to do. There's yoga. And an ashram set up as well here.
Good.
So,
if you need to chill out for a few minutes.
Yes. Oh, Wally, I look forward to talking to you every year from the fest because it blows me away that generations do come out. We know people who took their kids and grandkids,
sure.
and so they've
yeah.
grown up to be fans too, and that's really really cool. I got to ask you before we let you go. I'm surprised you even got away from your computer. Where you've been working on another book. What are you looking at for a target date for your latest?
Later in the fall, mm-hmm. and to show you how special, first of all, it's the fourth edition of Watching TV,
mm-hmm.
The season-by-season history of television. My writing partner and I finally counted up how long it goes. We passed a 500,000 word mark.
We're
adding 10 new chapters
wow.
on it. And to show you how excited we are about trying to make it as relevant and update as possible. This is not making any judgments on any political events. It's just political events through the eyes of television. We managed to squeeze in our final review of the manuscript and the copy edited text the famous Biden-Trump debate,
mm-hmm.
the assassination attempt, the Republican convention, Biden's withdrawal, and the ascent of Kamala Harris.
Wow.
And all of that's in the book.
Whoa.
So we've, and all through the eyes of television. And namely, it's saying television made all of these events come to mm-hmm. life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In people's lives. And at the twist of the at the turn of a camera lens,
mm-hmm.
the whole world can be upside down.
Well,
change from what you thought it was going to be. So we're very much looking forward, and it's later in the fall. Obviously, we will give you plenty of notice.
Good.
As to when we would like to talk about that. We're very proud of it, very excited about it, and yes, it was. We've been very intensely working on it. In effect, this fest is me taking a 2.5 day vacation, 3 day vacation
yeah.
from the last bits that we have to turn in on Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy. Well, there's so much to talk to you about, and we absolutely have to talk with you when that book is officially released.
In fact, sure. we'll set aside a couple sure. hours on the radio so yeah. we can talk TV with you and do some trivia and have some fun
sure.
like we did
love
in the old days. Yeah.
If people
yeah.
want to follow you, what is your social media site of choice?
Yeah, yeah. You could do... Oh, I'll do two things. First of all, you know... watchingtv.org,
right,
and that should get you to that. But we were recently asked to promote our own book at this site, which then the trade-off is we'll promote your book, but you have to review 5 of your favorite books about television and share your recommendation with readers. I'll send you the link to that. It was fun.
Okay.
Barry and I got to choose 5 books we would recommend while we're telling you about our forthcoming new edition.
Well, that's an interesting twist. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we like that. And you can guess, you'll have to go and find out which 5 we chose.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, go and have yourself some fun at the Fest for Beatles fans.
Okay. Exactly.
Oh, I see what you did. I just saw
it tomorrow.
I heard what he did. He snuck in a yeah. All right, Wally. Thank you.
Thanks, Wally. It's always fun.
Take care. Bye-bye now.
And we'll have Wally back on with us when he finishes
that book.
That's
pretty
huge.
Yeah, that's huge. I love that book anyway, but adding 10 more chapters.
The book is Watching TV.
And yeah.
That's one of Wally's many bits of juggling that he does throughout his life.
Yes. We're going to take a break. Stay with us here on WGN. It's not on the ceiling. You're like
looking on the ceiling.
We're looking up to see who is this.
Steve King and Johnny Putman, and this version of Johnny. It's a British group.
It's the original version, Tears for Fears.
Oh,
yes.
I'm thinking. Never mind. I was thinking every other group, but Tears for Fears. That's a good one. Nice to hear that.
It's an excellent version.
Time now for our shout-outs. And we have, if we include Chicago, state-wise, we have 11 states tuned in tonight.
Cool.
Yes. So I have gathered up some names. If I miss you this week, I apologize. I'll catch you next week. Like Bill Hobart is listening. Now, he probably pronounces his last name Hobart, but I've been trained. It's Hobart if you're in Indiana. So, Bill, that's you. Bev Goodall is tuned in. Sherry Hanrahan is in Romeoville. Robin is in Dyer, Indiana. And Dean is in Indy. Jim Gajewski is in Aurora. Bonnie is in Butternut, Wisconsin. Karen Buckhalter is tuned in. Linda Obremski has a great story. She's listening tonight. Her family is in downtown Chicago bringing Linda's 15-year-old granddaughter to the Metallica concert tomorrow night. Yes. Linda, you raised your kids well, because at 15, this will be a memory. You won't forget it.
I saw some really cool video from the Metallica concert last night. Our friend Merrick, was a contractor who redid our kitchen and a couple of bathrooms a couple of years ago. He took some family to the Metallica concert, and he had some extended video from kind of, they had great seats. I think their seats were behind the stage.
Well, they could see the band,
coming out.
Yeah.
Great video.
Yeah. Julian, your brother was there. Did he have a good time?
Oh, he had a great time. He and my dad went.
Dad went?
Cool.
My dad got us into Metallica all those years ago.
Oh, that's great.
And I was going to go, but I thought, no, I've seen him plenty of times.
You know what? You turn 30 and... I'm sorry, man. You changed.
I'm an old man now.
Your dad's like, come on, son. You're going, no, I really need to rest. I got to work Saturday night.
Yeah, right? I needed all the rest I could get. But did send good video.
That is great.
These concerts, apparently it's like a no-repeat thing, where if you go, if you went Friday and if you go Sunday, no songs will be repeated. They're different opening acts. They're putting a lot into this.
Yeah.
This is and the crowd at Soldier Field.
Oh, the crowd was amazing.
It was like Taylor Swiftian.
Well, maybe. Did your family have any problem getting in or out of Soldier Field?
It's just the usual, you know, crowds of people.
Because it was huge, the turnout.
Long lines of honking traffic.
Yeah. We had a friend, Tammy, the driver.
Oh, said, sure.
It took her to get from Northwest Indiana to our house on the north side.
From St. John, Indiana.
Yeah, to our house, 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours.
Largely because of some of the traffic for the Metallica concert.
She couldn't get over to the drive, and if she stayed on the Dan Ryan, it was the Cubs Sox game. So it was a real challenge.
So pick one.
Yeah. All right, back to our shout-outs. Peter Jakubowicz is tuned in. Chuck Snitchler, speaking of Hobart, he is the best friend of this radio station. He's tuned in from Hobart. Nancy Hollins and Betty Wilkins and Margot Moore. Does that sound like a movie star name, Margot Moore?
Yeah.
Margot Moore is listening in Albuquerque. And thank you, Margot. Wally Powers is in Pinehurst, North Carolina. George Clements, who's a great listener, he's in Augusta, Georgia. Mike and Judy are in Bloomington, Wisconsin. Bonnie and George are in Elgin. And Bonnie and George, thank you for the lovely birthday card you sent Steve.
Yes, that was such a cool card.
It was very sweet, too. Bill Bradley is in Old Town, my old stomping grounds. Sherry's in Morris and Stacy's in Algonquin. And Brian Lefevre's in Bridgeport and Delphine Behrman and Lester Clyden. Lester is between Chicago and North Carolina driving a big old truck tonight. Lori Helm and Carol...
Honk the horn, Lester.
Carol Danilowitz. I think I got that. Peter Lawrence is in Sauk Village. He had to run out and get, he said, every Saturday night, my cats need something. So I have to go out every Saturday night. So he's listening in. Also tuned in, Mary Gold. And she and her husband are listening in Tinley Park. And Judy Bees in Oak Lawn. Janet Gellert, she is tuned in Gainesville, Florida. Robin Aiken. By the way, speaking of Florida, a number of people said, how did our house do during Debbie?
No, we were fine largely because Debbie veered pretty far to the east.
Got a lot of rain.
Sadly, the East Coast is dealing with a ton of problems.
Yep, yep. Donna Youngheim is in Oak Lawn listening on her bedside AM radio. Becky Offsayoff, I'm sorry, Becky, I think I get it every other week. Richard Wade is in Troy, Missouri, one of the Wade twins. John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. Tom Kazmarek is in Highland Park. Nancy Taffy is in West Allis. Susie Schimmel, Glenn Allen, Scott Cooper in Naperville. Tom Appel, hey, we're going to be talking to him in a few minutes. He's tuned in tonight. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida, not Texas. Linda Bremsky is in Plano. Actually, she's from Plano, puppy sitting in Montgomery tonight.
Okay.
Larry Mann's in Miami, Florida, listening on the CC Wi-Fi radio. Helen Bolgren is tuned in. Peter, I think I mentioned you, Peter, in Citrus County, Florida. Debbie Hardiman's in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Did you ever post your wedding pics? Yes, we have, Debbie. If you go back in our Steve and Johnny page, our Facebook page, and you go back to April, you will scroll back, you will see all kinds of pictures from our wedding, because it was our 40th this year.
Yep.
Sandy McComas is in Michigan City, Indiana. Our buddy Bobby Danos is tuned in from Sammich, Illinois, listening on his AM clock radio, pointed to WGN. Happy because the Cubs win, I'm sure. Of course, I lost a couple bucks to him. Christine Failing's in Plainfield. Priscilla Gilbert Stegg is listening. Jean Jacobson is in Milwaukee. Jan Ranhart's in the laboratory. Connie Landwehr is, she was not happy about the White Sox game, but she survived. Helen Thomas is in K-Town. And quickly, we got a couple of people that just signed in. Penny Scarletta, that's a great name, from Frankfurt.
And Gary from River Grove, Jim Smith, spending the weekend in
Lublin,
Wisconsin.
I don't know Lublin, Wisconsin.
I don't either.
Yeah. So a whole bunch of you checked in. If you do check in and we have a chance to mention you on the radio, it's just our way of saying thank you for tuning in. And it gives us an idea of where we're getting out to. And as I say, we have 11 states that are tuned in tonight.
And a lot of people congratulating us on the 42nd anniversary. Now, we should explain.
Yes.
So we'll explain all that. We'll take a break and then we'll explain the 42nd anniversary. So stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. Ramsey Lewis, Wade in the Water. This weekend, the Air and Water Show is going on, and we mentioned that this is an anniversary of sorts for us. Not the specific date, but the fact that the Air and Water Show is occurring this weekend. Now, because we've had some people that are a little confused, we've been married for 40 years.
Right.
42 years ago, we were working for another radio station, and we were covering the Air and Water Show from the Oak Street Beach. And at that time, Johnny was still in a relationship, and I was going through a divorce. The last thing on either one of our minds was a relationship. A new relationship. And as we were coming back to the radio station from having spent the afternoon at the Oak Street Beach, we kind of realized something was going on. And it was a year ago that I posted a blog about it, which is why if you look at the link that Johnny just posted on our Facebook page, go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And you will see a link to the blog, and it is a blog about what happened at the Air and Water Show. Now, that says 41 years ago. That's because the blog was written last year. And it has some pictures.
You have to click a link in that blog to get to the post that has all the pictures. I should change that.
Oh, I see what you did.
I should change
you
that.
You used a different link than the one I was...
Sorry.
Okay.
I know. I can change it.
I need to send you a different link.
Okay. But with a couple clicks, you can get to the page that you're talking about that has the actual pictures. And I think the top picture of us standing outside of the WGN trailer broadcasting.
WIND trailer.
WIND trailer, where we were broadcasting. And we're all wearing our red shirts or WIND shirts because WIND was the station that carried the Air and Water Show. We had Clark Weber, who was a pilot, who would give actual play-by-play from a pilot's perspective. And it was really, it was a great broadcast, but it was a lot of hard work. It was hot standing out there for hours.
And you will see in the picture of us outside the trailer, below that, there is another picture. At one end of the trailer, I was standing, broadcasting, talking to the listeners. All of a sudden, I see Johnny. She throws it to me and runs inside the trailer. I didn't know why.
I threw it to you, threw my microphone to the engineer, and ran into the trailer.
Because I was standing on a portion of the beach, just talking to people as they were walking down the beach. What I didn't know was the guy who came up right next to me had a boa constrictor around his neck.
A big boa constrictor.
Big honking boa constrictor.
Which you can see in that picture. Now, you turned around and the guy actually was holding it by its head and had it right at your face when you turned around. And you did not swear. You kept it clean. I couldn't believe it. Now, I'm inside the trailer with my face pressed up against the glass, looking out going, no, don't turn around.
But didn't this result in the city of Chicago passing a law saying, basically, you can't carry your boa constrictors up and down the beach?
You can't carry any snake on the Chicago beaches.
Right.
And that was because of you and your terror when they heard that there was a man that shoved a boa constrictor at you.
Yeah. So, and then if you scroll down, you will see one other picture, because as we were walking back from the Oak Street Beach, we kind of realized something was going on, and we went into the Hancock building
right.
and went up and had a picture taken in the photo booth. And that was really the first picture of him and her kind of becoming yeah. a him and her. I know it's corny. It's right.
We put our sweaty bodies in that photo booth and took that picture. And the funny thing is, I think every picture that's in that blog post that takes you back 42 years, those were all Polaroid pictures. That's my recollection. I know for a fact the one that we took at the Hancock building,
yeah.
it spit the picture out.
Oh, no!
That is not me laughing. That's someone aggravating me. Because you know people think that's me. You know that.
Wait, that wasn't you?
No, old man, it wasn't me. And it wasn't Kamala Harris either.
No. We should ask Gino about this to verify.
It was Diane Cannon, and it legitimately happened. But you know what? That's part of my history. Something yes. comes along and you guys find a way to aggravate me, and there you go. And truthfully, the story is worth laughing at because it's a funny, cute story. But thank you all for sending us good wishes.
During the news, we'll fix the link so it'll be a little better link.
I have an excuse. I'm using your phone. I'm not using mine because mine is a stupid paperweight.
What are you trying to say?
And so, real sweet, a couple of listeners suggested what they thought might be the problem. Like, my new phone doesn't play well with my charger. This is not my new phone. This is the one that's been my tried and true from the day that it was released. And I've loved it. And now it knows I have a new phone sitting in the box at home.
But I still don't understand why, since the new phone that you're trying to upgrade things to has more memory, and yet it's giving you a message, no, we don't have enough memory to take the pictures from your old phone. What? That doesn't compute to me at all.
I think the old phone, which has decided to be difficult tonight, I think it's very sensitive. It's saying, no, you're not getting rid of me. No. You have 23,000 pictures on me, and you're not getting rid of me. No,
and that's just how it sounds.
I want
too.
Those to go to the new phone. We'll see.
So we're going to talk cars with Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. So stick around for that. Stay with us at WGN Radio. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yes, boys and girls. That crazy jam means it's time for us to talk cars with Tom Appel, and this is one of Tom's tunes. Tom, you want to Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. What is this, and what is tonight's theme?
Tonight's theme is drums, drums, drums. If that's okay with you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't beat it.
I kind of guess that was the title of that song, Drums, Drums, Drums. And it was by?
That is Joe Harriet. He was an English jazz musician, Jamaican expat. Pretty popular overseas, not as big in the U.S. This was off his album Killer Joe from 1954.
And the reason we like to highlight Tom's tunes is because Tom road tests cars, and thankfully, he's concerned about whether or not he has a good sound system in said vehicles that he's driving.
So he's road testing the sound systems, too.
And we're happy that you do that, yes.
And what car are you currently road testing the sound system in?
I'm currently driving the Elantra. This is the Hyundai Elantra Limited Hybrid, which in fact does have a branded audio system. It's a Bose system, and it's pretty good. At the Elantra's price, about $30,000, this is a pretty good audio system.
What do you think about the car overall?
I really, really like the car. The Hyundai Elantra is impressive for a bunch of reasons, and it's really good in hybrid form. I'm actually seeing 54 miles per gallon.
What?
Yeah, from a very roomy, compact car. Very impressive.
At not a crazy price either, right?
No, about $31,000 as equipped. There's a lot here to like. It's roomy, it rides well, it's quiet, it handles well. Really tight turning radius. It's great in parking lots. My only complaint is that the hybrid system itself does not deliver what I would call linear power. It does a little bit of business with itself when you take off from a stop, and you can feel the shifts and you can feel the interchange between the engine and the electric motor. It's not bad, and I think you can ignore it, but people should test drive it just in case.
I wonder how it's going to behave in cold weather in winter months.
It shouldn't be too much different. The only thing that would make it different, if it's very cold and for some reason the battery isn't charging fully and you're driving.
Mm. That's very impressive gas mileage.
So you say it's a
impressive.
You say it's a compact car, but today's compact cars are a whole lot bigger than previous generations' compact cars. So comfortable for a family of what?
Oh, four adults easy. Yeah. And to your point, Steve, if you look at like the current Honda Civic, it is larger than the 1985 Honda Accord. That's the car that kind of put the Accord on the map. It's much bigger. So yes, everything is relative. And this being a compact car is relative. It feels like a midsize car.
Wow. What color are you driving it in?
I think it's called Brilliant Red. It's a good color.
Of course. It can't just be red. I mean,
it's
really.
Be brilliant red.
Do you recall that a couple weeks ago when you joined us, you rattled off the title of some color that was just, it troubled me when I was like, who comes up with these names?
And I think it was a GMC, I think.
It was a long, colorful name that said absolutely nothing about the color of the vehicle.
Well, you have copywriters now struggling, copywriters and marketers, to come up with different names for gray and silver.
Yeah.
You know, like names like dynamic pewter, you know, what is that?
And when was pewter ever dynamic, you know? And the funny thing is, I always maintain when we're watching television and we happen to leave the TV on during a drug commercial, the people who come up with names for drugs also come up with names for colors. This is just like their thing. Because when
there
it comes, go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry, Johnny. There's something that my daughter has played with her friends, and it's Pokemon or prescription drug. And apparently, Pokemon character names are very similar to drug names.
Oh my gosh!
I never thought of that.
For two solid weeks, I have been
schooled by Joseph.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, well, then you know.
Gigi, you're not saying the name right. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, son, this is just a bunch of vowels strung together.
Speaking of names, I'm going to read a text that poured in at 312-981-7200. I'm going to read the text the way it's written. Then I will translate it to what I think the person meant. Okay? You see it, don't you?
Yes.
The text from a 630 area code says, "Ask Tim about his thighs on coconut donuts." Translation.
Wow.
Translation. Ask Tom about his thoughts on coconut donuts.
Ask Tim.
Or if you want to comment on your thighs on coconut donuts, Tom. That's.
I have been working out.
This is the funniest text I've seen in a long time.
It's wonderful.
Ask Tim about his thighs on coconut donuts.
This is clearly a listener who also listens to the Car Stuff podcast, where we spend a lot of time talking about donuts.
Because you do donuts. And that's, yeah. That's how you get paid in donuts, right?
That is my sole income, yeah.
Well, did you like the coconut donuts or not?
I did. I did, and my co-host Jill did not, but she's picky about her donuts. Pretty much any donut is fine. I don't really know that there's a bad donut.
I'm with you on that.
Oh, can I? I'm going to stay with the donut theme for a second.
You're signaling for a turn. Go ahead.
Johnny found a wonderful gluten-free donut-y option. Remember how at Dunkin' Donuts you could get donut holes?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Johnny just found It's a gluten-free, basically, it's a donut hole.
And glazed donuts.
It's wonderful.
Except they're made by Katz.
K-A-T-Z.
And they're in most grocery stores. I found them in the kosher department at Jewel because they are also kosher. But the only problem is...
Oh, that Katz.
Yeah, that Katz. I was on, like, the 10th donut hole when I read the size of the box... A serving is 3 donut holes. I'm like, what? What? Yeah, and so by the time I was done, I'd probably had 1,000 calories, but it was fun. I enjoyed it.
And then
it.
I had the other 10, so
yeah.
That wiped it out.
But it's so nice when you find something like that, because I literally, one of the foods that I've missed is powdered sugar donut holes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Those cheap ones that come in, that you can buy at a gas station.
And the powdered sugar would get in your throat, and you wind up coughing.
And all of your clothes.
But yeah. Who cares, because they were powdered sugar donut holes.
But if you're on a road trip, you could just put one on your, like, get those little tiny donuts, and then put one on your finger, and you just lick the sugar off as you're driving.
Can you tell we're talking cars?
See what you did?
We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back, and we're going to talk some recalls.
Talk some recalls, and we'll tell people how they can catch your podcast, too. And if you got any other questions for Tom, you can get those to us at
312-981-7200. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking cars with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide.
If a song could have a sense of humor, that one has a great sense of humor. It does.
This is one of Tom's tunes. And Tom, what was that and who was it?
That is the song Jump Back by King Curtis off his 1967 album. King Curtis plays the great Memphis hits. Great album. A lot of fun.
I think that's the same album that he did Memphis Soul Stew, which is one of my favorite King Curtis albums. Julian, can you dig up Memphis Soul Stew by King Curtis?
That is a tremendous jam. That is a great piece.
Because he talks about how to make a Memphis Soul Stew, and you need some fatback drums.
Today's special is Memphis Soul Stew. We sell so much of this, people wonder what we put in it. We're going to tell you right now. Give me about a half a teacup of bass. Now I need a pound of fatback drums.
So that's fatback drums.
Now give me 4 tablespoons of ballin' Memphis guitars. This gonna taste all right. Now just a little pinch of organ.
Just a pinch.
Give me a half a pint of horn.
Then you gotta cook it.
Place on the burner and bring to a boil. That's it right there.
I know we're supposed to be talking cars, but every time we get on with Tom, we have to...
I think I could love King Curtis.
Oh, King Curtis is...
I just smiled in both songs. I'm like, this is happy music.
King Curtis was an extraordinary saxophonist. King Curtis did a lot of the saxes on... there were 2 saxophonists. One of them was King Curtis, and I'm trying to think of who the other one was, that did a lot of the sax stuff on the Coasters songs, that kind of a yakety sax thing. He also did the sax on a great track by Buddy Holly called Reminiscing.
It's a good song.
Well, we'll I could delve into the King Curtis
the
mine
library.
And just stay there for a long time. But we're talking cars. And by the way, answer to a question, I believe the color was the Hyundai Santa Fe calligraphy in earthy brass matte.
Matt, that's it.
That was it. Okay.
That's the one you rattled off. And we were driving home, and I'm thinking, what? Why? And a listener, our great listener from 872 area code, who's a car historian, he sent me an ad for the Maverick from 1970. Tom, you'll love this ad. Goodbye, old paint. Everything is bolder, brighter today. Maverick has colors to go with the times. Now, again, this is 54 years ago. One color is anti-established mint green.
Mm-hmm.
Hula blue.
Or is it hula?
Or hula blue.
Yeah.
I was thinking hullabaloo. Original cinnamon. And here's my absolute favorite. Freudian gilt. G-I-L-T. That's wonderful. And then colors like vermilion. They had way too much fun with the Maverick.
But then they have the Maverick measurements.
Yeah. Wow. This is a great ad. Thank you to our listener at 872 area code Jim in Lublin, Wisconsin for sending that along to us. Maybe, do we have time? We got to do a couple recalls, but you got a great story about, speaking of good cars, about the Dodge. This is the Dodge Charger. The Daytona, is it the Fretzonic?
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. And in a nutshell, the Dodge Charger, the Dodge Challenger, and the Chrysler 300, Chrysler's old large rear drive vehicles that were available with V8 power, were discontinued last year. What's coming back is the Dodge Charger. Mm-hmm. In two- and four-door form. So what they're going to do with the Challenger name, if anything, is we don't know at this point. But now it's an electric vehicle. So there is the Charger, and then there's the Charger Scat Pack, and it starts around $60,000 and $75,000. They're electric. Lots and lots of power now. But the Fretzonic thing is a little bit weird. People may remember, speaking of old ads, that there used to be an emblem that Dodge used called the Fretzog. And you might see it on the gas filler cap on some of the muscle cars of the time. Anyway, they're using that name, Fretzonic, to describe the fake exhaust noise that these cars will be creating. And if people want to see it, they can go to YouTube. There is an official Stellantis video of the vehicle charging through a tunnel so that you can hear the fake exhaust noise on the electric car. It's both silly and kind of wonderful and kind of strange, but the transition to EVs has been weird, and this is just part of that weirdness.
Do you think there's a market for this?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I ask myself that question a lot. I don't know if we're looking for electric muscle cars, but these are probably good ones if you are.
Hmm. And what is the how far can you go on this before you have to charge?
I have not seen a range yet. I've just seen horsepower numbers. But I assume the ranges are probably going to be in the high 200 area. There's an awful lot of horsepower here, so they'll be drawing down the batteries pretty quickly.
Yeah. Now, you talk about artificial engine noise. Isn't that becoming more and more a part of most vehicles? The vehicle that we got a little over a year ago, it is not an electric vehicle, but the motor sound is basically it's artificial. I can pick what kind of sound I want to have or nothing.
Yeah, and the manufacturers, especially for EVs and hybrids may run at low speed without a gasoline engine, so they make no noise. So there are laws and regulations about those vehicles making some noise. And a lot of them feel like they're from a Star Trek episode. But I think we're going to see as we move forward that you will be able to choose from the cabin what these sounds are like within reason. And why manufacturers can have fun with those, I suppose, and that's what Dodge is doing.
Hmm. But the vehicle that we got, it's not an electric, it's not a hybrid, it's mm-hmm. just got
interesting,
a,
yeah.
And yet we can pick, okay, what
if
kind of a sound do you want?
Going to church sound, if you want your riding with your grandmother sound, if you want your badass sound, you got all those, that's exactly what they're called, too.
And right I picked the just let it sound like an engine sound.
Yes. All right, Tom, hang in there. We're going to take a break, then we'll be right back and talk more cars with Tom Appel here on WGN.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking cars with Tom Appel, and we're digging some of Tom's tunes. And Tom, I don't even have to think about who that is. I know that sound.
I haven't checked. Can I guess?
You can guess.
Ventures?
No, although I could see while you would say that.
I don't know.
But that was the king of the surf guitar, Dick Dale.
Oh, Dick Dale. Okay.
And he was doing kind of a take on his version of Miser Lou, which was a big hit for him. And Tom, that specific track was?
The Long Ride. And it's a later career offering off the album Tribal Thunder, 1993.
Yeah, Dick Dale was one of the first people to become a Fender guitar endorser out of the Left Coast when they really started getting into all the surf music. And my favorite song of his is a song that you never hear. It was his first hit, I think even before Miser Lou. It was called Let's Go Trippin'.
Oh, yeah.
And really, kind of nice, funky. So we may have to play that a little
later. But that wasn't 60s trippin'. That was 50s trippin', right? Where you get in a car and you drive.
Yeah, depending on your frame of reference.
Really?
Of course, he was Left Coast.
And, well, yeah. He was a musician, yeah. You know. We never know what that... Tom, before we get too far into this, recalls. One caught my attention, a BMW recall. Over 100,000 vehicles?
I didn't see that one in my notes
today.
Yes,
105,558 crossovers and sedans in the U.S. will issue a software update to fix concerns related to a starter motor that can overheat. Now, again, forgive me, folks, but I will say this is August. You're going to get your letter in September.
Yep.
You can't get your software update until you get your notification letter. So in the meantime, drive that Beamer knowing that it's possibly one of those vehicles that needs an update because the starter motor can overheat.
And I don't understand why it takes as long as it does for software updates. I mean, that's kind of you get the brains, the computer brains together, you have them fix the glitch, and you make the update available. You download the update, problem solved. So I don't understand the time lag. I get if there is a part that needs to be fixed and you then need to get the ship to the dealers and you need to get the part put on the car. That's a whole different process. But I don't understand why the software updates take as long as they do for automotive manufacturers.
We've seen that these notices take forever to distribute, even though we find out about the recall much earlier. But software has become an increasingly important and complicated thing for manufacturers. And part of the reason, if you guys heard this story, that Volkswagen just invested $1 billion with a B dollars in Rivian is because they want access to Rivian's electric architecture. Volkswagen's been having a very difficult time with software these last few years, and their electric vehicles development of them has been stymied because they have not been able to develop software in-house, and Rivian has. So Volkswagen has promised $1 billion to Rivian, which Rivian badly needed, and possibly an additional $4 billion moving forward for other technology sharing.
Speaking of Rivian, let me double-check something here. Because there was a story, I thought I sent it to you guys, and I...
Oh, the new Rivian store.
Yeah, there's so it is Rivian. It's going to be a Rivian store that is going to be in Old Orchard as part of the new development for Old Orchard. What do you know about that,
Tom? That's huge.
Yeah, the Rivian thing is interesting, and very much like Lucid and like Tesla, Rivian does not have a traditional dealer network. They don't have dealerships that are owned by other people. So they're working outside the franchise system. Now that keeps this costs down because you basically mail order your vehicle. The problem is people like to see cars and test drive cars and see them in showrooms and ask questions of real people. So Rivian has been very slow because they've been cash strapped rolling out new stores, and they only have 11 nationally, but they're putting a second one in the Chicago area, which is nice. And another 8 or so are going to be built over the next year. But right now, there are a lot of states, whole states, that don't have Rivian showrooms yet.
But again, back to the whole idea of them taking up some real estate at Old Orchard, you can't beat that.
But again, the question comes up, okay, so you have this showroom at Old Orchard. You buy the car. Where do you get it serviced?
Oh.
Well, that's a good question, because we don't know that the showroom will also include a service center. Service centers have been different.
I can't imagine them having a service center at Old Orchard. I think it would be something similar to what Tesla did when they opened up a showroom in Old Orchard. And basically it was walk in, take a look at the cars. You want to buy one, fine. But that there is no place to get it serviced in Old Orchard.
No, one of the things that they do, and Tesla does, and I'm sure Lucid is doing too, is that they have remote technicians that will come out to your car. And I think that that will work in many situations, but it won't work in all situations, depending on what the problem is.
A listener from 847 said, it's software beta testing. They don't want to push an update out that will make things worse than the current situation.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But even so, it should be less time consuming than manufacturing something, getting that thing sent to the dealerships and getting an appointment to get in and get that thing put in your car.
Yeah. And dealing with, in my case, quite honestly, the stress of possibly something happening while you're waiting for this update. Tom, I am not familiar with the car named the Ariya. A-R-I-Y-A?
Oh, Ariya. That is a Nissan. That is Nissan's compact electric crossover. It's about the size of the Rogue.
Because I did a search for vehicle software updates, and this story came up from 2 days ago. The slow-selling Ariya has been hit with yet another safety recall, and apparently it's due to a wrong software update. So they're saying that apparently, and again, I've never seen one of these vehicles, a good-looking vehicle, though. While driving at high speeds, the current sensor inside the high-voltage battery junction box may detect a gap in the current ripple frequency of the motor. Means nothing to me, but they say it could cause you to crash. When the fail-safe mode engages, the instrument cluster display shows a malfunction indicator lamp and a warning message that says EV system off. And according to Nissan, the fail-safe mode is released after completely powering off the vehicle. And the story goes on to say that apparently there was a software update that may have been causing this error.
Yeah. The software update thing is interesting, and one of the things that manufacturers want to do, and this might be the reason for the delay with the BMW update, for example, is that they like to do batch updates where they fix a lot of things at the same time that have been tested and are related. And sometimes when you do a single update independent of anything else, you're not entirely sure what that's going to affect, unfortunately.
Wow.
Tom, we've been doing this for a while and talking cars with you for a while. Jargon alert. What the heck is a motor's ripple frequency?
I don't know. The best I can tell you is that...
Thank you.
And
this is in a layman's story on what the problem is. And if I owned Ariya, I'd be going, huh?
I mean, I was this old when I first heard about a motor's ripple frequency.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work going on right now to make electric motors more efficient, and people are probably familiar with the relatively simple concepts of alternating current and direct current. And it's turning out that some electric motors respond better to alternating current in different types of alternating frequencies, and that could be what they're talking about here. And I think that the more advanced and more sophisticated that gets, probably the more doors open to that not working as well as it could under some circumstances. But it probably part of the drive for motor efficiency.
Boy, for not knowing, that was one of the best fakes I ever heard.
I'm looking at Steve like, like, dang. Yeah. For all a guy right, who didn't have an answer.
Yeah. I'm not standing by it, though. My fingers are crossed.
Can I say you should just run for office? Because that was quick on your feet. We're going to take a break, let you rest that brain of yours, and come back. Tom Appel is our guest. He joins us twice a month, and I want to answer a question that a texter had. How long has Tom been on your show? Well, Tom started his radio career on our show. We birthed this monster, this media monster. Right, Tom? Right?
It's your fault, yeah.
That's fault. Right. So for the people that say, well, I heard him on the John Williams show. I'm sorry, John stole him from us.
He did.
Well, we actually said he could join John. Nick talks to him on a regular basis. He did that
right.
After we left WGN as full-timers. But Tom started his career with us.
Well, we originally were talking to Frank Pyler, who is still the publisher of a wonderful magazine, Collectible Automobile. And when Frank decided that he didn't want to make the drive from the far, 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 far flung.
Practically Wisconsin.
Yeah. And then we started talking with Tom. And the rest, as they say, is Tom.
That's right.
Yes, I consider it a perk of my job.
So, Media Monster, just sit there for a bit. We'll come back with Tom Appel here on WGN.
So people say lies, 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 but I say why? Why deny the obvious child? Why deny the obvious child?
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. We're talking cars, automotive things with Tom Appel, and tonight's Tom's tune theme is drums, 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 and that was Paul Simon, right?
It's Paul Simon off his Grammy Award-winning Rhythm of the Saints, 1990. That song was Obvious Child. And that whole album is so good, it gives me chills. What a wonderful artist Paul Simon is.
And it sounds good when you're driving around in a new Snazmobile. Tom, are there any other recalls that we should mention during the segment?
There's a couple real quick. There's a big Dodge recall right now. I should say Ram. It affects Ram 25 and 3500. That's their big heavy-duty pickups. And the Durango, 200,000 units. All of them are 2022s. And it's a problem with the ABS control module. And basically, the system may disable ABS, and apparently the driver may not know it. So you would lose that safety feature. Mm. And the news is going out in late July. So that news has gone out.
Mm-hmm.
That's some good news.
You think it would be,
should be notified.
A light that comes on your dash that tells you your ABS is off.
I get the sense that didn't happen.
Oh. Yeah, that wouldn't be good if you're counting on it and it's not there. Yeah.
The blatant plug light just went off. If people want to follow you and take a look at Consumer Guide, where do they go? What do they do?
Yeah, go to consumerguide.com. You can do everything there. If you want to stream our podcast, you can do that there, or you can download the Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast anywhere. If people haven't heard, this is the 100th anniversary of Ford's Torrance Avenue factory.
Yes!
I didn't realize the Model T was produced in Chicago. So we talk about that on the podcast that week. Our guest is Ted Ryan, Ford's official historian. He joins us to talk about that plant and its impact on Chicago.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize the incredible history that location has.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. It was located originally because it was close to the water, and they used to move a lot of stuff there by the lakes. Mm-hmm. But there's a huge campus there, and it employs a lot of Chicagoans. It's been a part of the engine that really drives Chicago economically.
I'd love to go there sometime. I wonder if we could get a little mini tour.
They don't officially do tours anymore, but you can probably arrange a media tour.
We should do that, Tom.
We should do that and do a little video, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be fun.
I was really happy that they got a lot of attention this past week, and some great stories came out of Ford.
What else have you been driving that you like or don't like or have strong feelings about?
I just drove something really interesting. People may know that Stellantis, when it became Stellantis, sort of lost interest in Fiat. The whole bringing Fiat to the U.S. was kind of a mistake, but that happened when Chrysler was forced into the hands of Fiat during the bankruptcy years back during the dark days of the auto industry back around 2010. So Fiat came to America, sold a couple of models here. They didn't work, but Fiat is back for 2024 with an all-new all-electric vehicle. That's kind of interesting, kind of cute, and kind of perky. It's a rebirth of the 500. And people might remember that was a small two-door, fundamentally a two-seat car. There is a rear seat. Now it's electric. It comes in around $35,000, which is pretty affordable. It's all sorts of fun to drive. Really, the only problem is that its range is capped at about 150 miles. Love driving this thing. Also, Johnny, you'll appreciate that the color is red.
Oh, how original.
I'm surprised, given the size, if the size is what I'm thinking, I'm surprised the range isn't more.
They're trying to keep the price down. So that was basically keeping the battery in line. It's a 42 kilowatt hour battery. That's about half the battery you'll find in most EVs sold in the U.S. And that keeps the price down, and it makes it a little bit more fun to drive. The handling is great. But about 141 miles of range, in my testing, that's probably realistic. Really zingy, great to drive in traffic. The only problem is that the ride is a little overly firm. But I think if you're young, looking for an urban vehicle, this can work for you. Mm-hmm. Bit of bad news, vehicle does not qualify up front for the federal tax credit. So if you want that money, you do have to lease the vehicle.
It doesn't qualify because it's not manufactured in this country?
That's correct, yes. But there is a provision in the Inflation Reduction Act that allows for commercial uses, and that's basically a workaround of the law, where if you lease the vehicle, they assume it's a commercial vehicle, and you will qualify for the $7,500, and the dealer can help you do that.
Johnny and I were talking off the air about the whole thing people goes through these days in buying cars, the car buying experience.
In fact, a texter from 708 area code said, I plan on buying a car soon. Very few cars on the lot, and I have to wait for the new car that is still being transported. Are you still able to negotiate the price, and how do you go about doing that? And we were talking off the air, Tom, why don't we do a segment on the buying experience and how it's changed.
Like the next time you're on with us, tips for people who are going to buy a car.
Yeah, yeah. And can you negotiate? Can you haggle? How has it changed? And, you know, maybe we'll call around and do some interviewing of some of the salespeople and just ask them how their world has changed. Mm-hmm. I know we know a couple of guys that have been selling cars for like 30 plus years, and gosh, the things that they've seen.
And some people, depending on the model, they say there's no room for negotiation.
Exactly. Yeah.
There is never no room. It's just the dealer won't. Because you always can. There's no rules. And one of the interesting things is that your texter said that the car was being ordered. I've spoken to a lot of people, and even Honda and Toyota should be up to normal supply now. So I'm hearing anecdotally from people that they can't find cars, but I'm hearing from the media that the cars are out there. And I don't really know what's going on with that, unless very clever dealers are able to make it seem like cars are scarcer than they are.
Interesting. Well, Tom, we will talk with you in a couple of weeks. Meantime, people can listen to your award-winning podcast.
They can follow you on Twix at car_guy Tom. Is that it?
Yep, Tom_guy_Tom. Car guy Tom, that guy. That's hard to say.
I know.
It is.
I shouldn't have done that. I should not have done that.
That's your passing, your last words, Tom. No, thank you. As always, thanks a million for joining us.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. Thanks,
take care.
Guys.
Bye-bye now.
And don't forget to check out consumerguide.com. More coming up at WGN Radio.
There ain't no road just like it. Anywhere I found, running south on Lakeshore Drive, getting into town.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. Running south on Lakeshore Drive, or as it's called now, DeSable Lakeshore Drive.
Or DSLD.
DSLD, yeah. And we're playing that for a couple reasons. One, it's a great song, I'll Lay Out Haynes, Jeremiah, but also, in the news now is the possibility that Lakeshore Drive, as we've known it, is not going to be Lakeshore Drive as we have known it.
There has been a project for 11 years, a project to redesign Lakeshore Drive, basically from Grand Avenue, so from downtown to Hollywood. Now, you may say, what about the South Side? I don't know why the South Side isn't included, but it's from Hollywood to Grand Avenue. For 11 years, we've had the state and the city transportation departments looking at proposals, scratching their head. What started out as a $2 billion redesign project is now a $3.4 billion redesign project.
And you know, the longer it goes, there are going to be more zeros added to that project.
Well, they think they've come up with the idea, but when they had a meeting on Thursday to unveil some of their proposals with some drawings and some, you know, the people who are in favor of this were just sure that this was going to better the experience on Lakeshore Drive. But word got out about what was being proposed. And so about 100 plus people showed up to this meeting on Thursday to protest the proposed changes on Lakeshore Drive. Now, they're proposing, in real simple terms, if you grew up in Chicago, you're familiar with the S-curve.
Yeah.
That was straightened out, but we now have an S-curve at Oak Street.
Yeah.
And it backs up. We do it every Saturday night. We know when we get to the cutoff where we could take Michigan Avenue or continue south, where it curves, traffic's going to stop. It just happens. So
in fact, what the heck was with what we encountered as we came down tonight? They've got some new little reflector kind of barriers as you start to make that turn. Is that to make more people aware of the fact that this is curving now? Or I'm not sure what that's all about.
It was very... it was concerning because we had a number of people that were around us had out-of-state license plates. So you got tourists that are in town.
And initially, it looks like this lane is going
to close, yeah.
But it doesn't.
And so it caused a little bit of a shuffle where people were like, oh, what's going on here? I have no idea what that was all about. But part of the plan, the $3.4 billion redesign plan, would be to soften that curve. So we would still have to have a curve.
Yeah.
Because as Daniel Burnham said, we're not going to mess with the lakefront. We're going to make that lakefront available to the public. But they would soften that curb. Now, there is one area that I'm 100% in favor of. When you exit Lakeshore Drive at Chicago Avenue, there's a stoplight there that backs traffic up onto the drive.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a nightmare.
And has for years.
Yes. It's scary getting off the drive at Chicago Avenue. So they're talking about possibly eliminating that. The plan at this point is to be car-centric. And they're using that term because there are a number of people that feel that we should get away from being car-centric, we should look to the future, and we should push transportation, public transportation. So there should be a bus lane. There should be a bike lane. I got nothing against bikers, but no.
I love biking. I love bikers. Not on Lakeshore Drive.
No.
That would make as much sense as putting a bike lane on the Kennedy or the Ryan. No.
You've got the lakefront. You can travel along the lakefront. You don't have to be on Lakeshore Drive. And if they were to put a bike lane and they did it anything like it, for example, let's look to Evanston or Andersonville on the north side of Chicago, you have barricades. I don't know how they expect to plow around those barricades protecting the bikers.
The first big snow, you got some serious problems.
I find that baffling. But again, that's one of the plans that the protesters would like to see considered seriously, not being so car-centric, being more looking to the future. Now,
and I'm sorry, that does looking to the future necessarily mean we're not going to be car-centric? I get that we want to decrease emissions and all that, but my pea-sized brain says there will always be some kind of vehicle that people will choose to travel in. Now, what will propel that vehicle, that's going to change, but there will always be a need for a lane for this vehicle to travel in along with tons of other vehicles.
This is our first conversation about what's being proposed. And we talked off the air about the fact that we are going to bring this up. We're going to get some of these people on the show to talk about the possibility that, for example,
what are the options?
They're going to do a bike lane, or they're going to do a bus lane, or, you know, what are they really thinking about spending $3.4 billion? And we know that's just the price tag. Now, when you get into the project, God only knows how high it's going to go.
Oh, there will be cost overruns.
But there are,
just figure it.
There are experts that will tell you that we should be looking at the fact that we're losing our beach. The lake is coming up closer and closer. And maybe not in our lifetime, but it may down the road be over Lakeshore Drive.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be addressing that. And apparently there's quite a bit of water that runs underneath Lakeshore Drive.
Sure.
Because you can go to Lincoln Park and you can look at a marker where the lakefront used to be. There is a marker in the park, a long way from where it is today.
Yeah.
So again, there are scientists that say, you know, we're all wrong about trying to revamp what we've got. We got to be looking at what could potentially happen down the road.
Yeah.
And
the only thing sure is that what's there now ain't going to work in the future.
Right.
And as an example of that, I will ask Julian. You're probably way too young to remember.
Yep.
When Lakeshore Drive had lane
hydraulic
lanes that would rise and disappear. I'm not kidding.
I love that look.
We should have taken a picture of you. Literally, you would get on Lakeshore Drive. Say you get on Lakeshore Drive at Hollywood.
But say, for example, it's morning rush hour.
And actually, before you got to Hollywood,
yeah,
while you would be coming down
Sheridan. Yep.
There would be a lane divider that would rise and lower for morning and rush hour traffic.
So you would have an extra lane.
So you would increase your lanes depending on the way you were going at the time of the day it was.
Now, they say they stopped that after...
Because some people kept driving up on those hydraulics.
Now, the city would come out well in advance. And remember, we would drive home behind the truck with the guy that was dropping the cones down to tell you that this is going to happen during rush hour. So be aware, it's going to come up a couple of inches, and eventually it's going to come up about 9 or 10 inches out of the road.
It made a barrier.
It was amazing when you think about it. And you mentioned Hollywood. That was pretty amazing on Hollywood. If you were driving to Lakeshore Drive during morning rush hour, there are overhead signage that told you that you had an extra lane, and if you were unfamiliar, you might be.
And all of a sudden, the lane you're in that had a green arrow now has a red X because this hydraulic thing is about to come up, so don't get in this lane.
But on Hollywood, you didn't have the hydraulic lanes that came up and down. You just had overhead.
Had you ever heard of this, Julian?
This is completely new to me.
Isn't it crazy to think?
Do a YouTube search. There must be something for Lakeshore Drive hydraulic
closures.
Lanes.
Yeah, lane closures. The way people are today, I just don't see us going along with this. You know,
especially on their cell phones.
It's just like people, and they got rid of it because they said people were complaining about it, but it worked. We gave an extra.
But people
lane.
Are going to complain about everything.
Yeah. Yeah. You talked about Sheridan Road. I remember when they got rid of the what they called the express lane on Sheridan Road. And you lived on Sheridan Road when that was still in effect. And when they got rid of it, people said, oh, great. Now it takes me 20 minutes to get from Devon to the turn onto Lakeshore Drive. About 35 to 40,000 cars a day traveled just that short stretch from Devon to Hollywood. That's crazy. A little bit more on the subject about Lakeshore Drive. If you've got memories you want to share with us on that subject, please feel free to do so at 312-981-7200. We'll come back after this on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. Man, I still miss him. Eddie Rabbit. He was a dear friend and gone way too soon. One of his many hits, Driving My Life Away, and we're talking about driving in and around Chicago and Lakeshore Drive and some changes that may be happening.
In fact, David Shine from Mount Prospect Sen High School, class of 64, tells us that the little blue lights along the way in the Lakeshore Drive song meant the small lights in top of thy hydraulic lane dividers. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the winter months, with it being dark, rush hour, you would have to see the lights to know that those things were coming up out of the ground. I just wish there was video available so that we could share it.
There has to be some video.
Young Julian needs
Julian,
to see
this.
Julian,
did you find any video of the reversible lanes on Lakeshore Drive?
Not yet. I was still looking.
And when you're looking, look for hydraulic reversible lanes.
Yeah.
It was funny, when I was doing some research this afternoon.
And specify Chicago's Lakeshore Drive, because there are Lakeshore Drives in other parts of the country.
But recently, within the past month, a travel magazine like Travel and Leisure magazine came out with a list of the 25 or 50 greatest roads, most beautiful roads in the world. And on that list was Lakeshore Drive.
As it should be.
Absolutely. And we kind of take it for granted. Sometimes we'll be driving along and I'm taking pictures as we're coming into work. And I'll say to you, I'm trying to view it from the point of view as a tourist. Because we do see it all the time. So you kind of take it for granted.
And if you have the chance, if you have never driven that route from Hollywood all the way down to, oh, about 67th on the south side, do it. It's just a wonderful, wonderful drive.
Yeah, it really is. And back to the redesign proposal so far. The essential design would speed up bus traffic by adding shorter bus-only lanes to ramps along DLSD instead of the whole highway as it would in other plans. And one of the things we observe, as I say as an aside, the fact that we rarely see any police up and down Lakeshore Drive, Chicago police.
Yeah.
And yet, we see vehicles that I bet you they don't know that legally they're not supposed to be on Lakeshore Drive. Vehicles with a truck plate, for example, not supposed to be on Lakeshore Drive. There was a time when that was very, very strictly enforced. I know, because I got stopped driving a radio station van on Lakeshore Drive.
There were times when we would be road testing vehicles, and we say, oh, nope, can't take this one on the drive.
Can't take it on the drive. Not supposed to take them in the express lanes. Mm-hmm. A listener said those lanes that would change on Lakeshore Drive were the reversibles.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
that's one of the terms for them.
I never called it reversibles. When I did traffic for 7 years, reversibles were the Kennedy Expressway. When you had them going in and outbound and they flipped, those were the reversibles. The Lakeshore Drive,
they still are.
Yeah, they still are the reversibles, when I was doing a little bit reading on Lakeshore Drive, looking for some footage of what it was like in the 80s.
I can't believe there's no footage of it.
I couldn't find anything.
That's crazy.
But I found a piece that was written in the Chicago Tribune this week, 1871, 153 years ago, this week.
Okay.
And here's just a little bit of what was written in the Trib, and I think this was on the editorial pages. First, by reason of its exceptionally beautiful and attractive peculiarities, we should mention the Lakeshore Drive, a mate to which cannot be found in the United States.
Sing it.
What an opening. Beginning at the northern confine of the Old City Cemetery and skirting the edge of Lake Michigan so closely that the spray sprinkles the roadbed at times when the surf rolls high shoreward, and with Lincoln Park as its counter adornment, it extends northward nearly a mile and a half, a broad, smooth bed of fine gravel packed upon blue clay, 60 feet in width. With the lake on one side and the park on the other, it'd be difficult to conceive of a more enjoyable route over which to take an evening drive. It is highly anticipated by the Chicago Upper Ten, who have chosen it as a place of regular resort. I'm not sure who the Chicago Upper Ten are. Each pleasant evening, after business hours, the Lakeshore Drive, with its throng of fast steppers and dashing turnouts, presents a scene of extraordinary interest. It has been contemplated to have the southern terminus of the drive at Chicago Avenue. The project is still in abeyance, pending the appointment of the new board of the Chicago Park District. They will then be choosing, I guess,
where the drive would end. The northern terminus touches the town of Lakeview. The town of Lakeview, the leading residents of which have determined upon continuing the drive northward upon the lakeshore through their township, and with that view, already begun the construction. So this was 153 years ago.
Send me a copy of that.
That's crazy. Chicago Tribune.
We got a break. More coming up. Stay with us at WGN.
From a garbage can.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Stray Cats. They were in Northwest Indiana.
Yep, at the casino, at the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. If you're coming home from that, give us a shout. That would be fun to see.
Yeah.
So much fun. Closest we ever got was hanging out backstage with Brian Setzer, elbow to elbow with him.
Backstage at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville. And was that for the Rockabilly Hall of Fame?
Nope. That was actually for the Les Paul tribute.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He came to just say hello to Les. Yeah. Yeah. And we were in the hall waiting to go off stage. Or something.
And
anyway,
we were
talking around
with him, and who was the the guy who helped us get in backstage. He worked there. He worked at the Ryman. Really nice guy.
Been there forever.
Yeah.
I said, oh, you should write the book, The Things You Have Seen Backstage Here. Because it was dark, and we turned around, and there was this guy with this fabulous hair and this flashy outfit. And
he was just there to see Dwayne.
Yeah, it was the one and only, Brian Setzer. Yeah.
And they both played Gretsch guitars,
mm-hmm.
So that was a big deal for...
Actually, it was a Dwayne Eddy night. It was not the Les Paul night.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Because we were there both times. I would love to see them in concert. I've always wanted to see his Christmas show because I love his Christmas
albums. With his big band.
Yeah, with the big band. And played the Chicago Theater and brought the whole big band. And gosh, that would be good. So if you saw him tonight in Indiana, I haven't heard much about the acoustics in that venue. I'm going to bet they're good.
Probably are.
Yeah. Last week it was Gladys Knight was there.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard from a couple of people that were heading home from the venue. I've never heard anyone say, yeah, I bought tickets to see the XYZ band. And gosh, the acoustics really stink.
And sometimes it depends on the performer.
You think? It's not just the room?
Yeah. Because sometimes the performer, as we know from some of the concerts that we've gone to, it can be the same venue, and I'm thinking of when we saw Huey Lewis in Panama City, Florida.
Right, at the Marina Civic Center.
And we also saw Shooter Jennings.
Right.
Waylon Jennings' son. At a different time, and they brought their own sound people with them.
Mm-hmm.
And...
they decided we should have our ears bleed.
Yeah, and we love Shooter Jennings, but they were cranking it up as if it was a 17,000-seat arena. And it seats, what do we figure, maybe 2,000, something like that. The sound was just too loud. So,
and yet, when
my point is, sometimes, depending on the venue and depending on the sound people that travel with the artist, that makes a difference.
Well, we've experienced that at the Park West, too.
Yeah.
The Park West can be wonderful, and then again, they can just turn it up way too loud. Mm-hmm. But there were venues in Chicago that you just knew when you went to them, the sound was not going to be good.
Yeah.
I'm thinking...
Well, the Eric Crown Theater,
exactly,
of course.
Exactly. That's exactly.
I've never seen a good...
And yet, we would still buy tickets to go to that venue and think, it still stinks.
And the worst sounding concerts... all of them that I've ever seen were the Eric Crown Theater.
Ever. And I would think, why? Why does it have to be so bad? But it was. And the Rosemont Horizon was kind of,
That depended on
the sound person. Yeah.
I'm segueing back to our conversation before we broke.
Yeah.
I found a video. It's a brief history of Chicago's Lakeshore Drive. And Julian, I just sent you a link to this.
And that's the young man I want to get on the show.
is this, I'm not sure who put this video up there. Because it, I would say, yeah, it says Chicago geographer. Oh, mm-hmm. So we both landed on the same place.
Yep.
But in this video, it's frozen at a point where you see those lanes, and they would go flat, and then they would just pop up or pop down.
I know. For people,
it's hard to describe.
I know. It was so weird. And we dealt with it. We were good.
Yeah.
We were good students. We knew that you didn't drive over them. I cannot recall ever in all the years, and I've been here for many, many years, never ever heard, oh, somebody drove over them and their car got hung up on them. But
and yet that was a complaint that some people had.
Yeah,
I never did that. I never knew of anyone who did that.
I think they were afraid that they would get caught. I think that was it. Yeah. They were afraid that they would be on the road and suddenly the road would rise up. But it didn't happen that way.
They couldn't have made it any easier. I mean, with the Chicago crews out there putting down the cones before they set those lanes to rise up.
But that ain't going to happen with a redesign, the $3.4 billion redesign. But watch the space. We'll get more on that subject.
And we're running out of time for too many subjects. I want to mention something very briefly.
Yes, important.
Briefly, but importantly, from a couple different news sources worth mentioning, Chicago applications are now open for voting by mail.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never done this, it's an option you should look into. That you can also check with the Cook County Circuit Court, and they will have options for you to vote by mail. Applications opened this week for Chicagoans to vote by mail ahead of the November 5th presidential election. You can apply online or request a paper application at chicagoelections.gov. And I'm looking to see, there is also, if you're outside Chicago, you vote by mail applications also open for suburban Cook County voters at cookcountyclerkill.gov. So if you're at all concerned, if you think for any reason you might not be able to get out to the polls, get your applications, get them in, and they will be mailed to you long before the election.
Yep.
Because this is going to be probably, certainly in our lifetime, the most significant election we've ever voted in. And, we're going to vote.
And maybe you haven't voted in a while. Go to those sites and check to see if you're still registered.
Yeah.
You don't want to find out when you go to vote that, oh, wait, what do you mean? I haven't. And it's quite possible that this election is going to inspire people to go and vote. Maybe they haven't.
Hopefully.
In some time. Yeah, hopefully. You're right. Guess what?
What is that?
Yeah.
I
thought I heard the rumble of the Zamboni.
It's Big Plug Bob and is riding his Zamboni. That means it's time for our last call.
Yes.
So if you would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200. That number again, 312-981-7200.
You don't have to have anything pithy, and that was with a TH, pithy, to talk about. You can just recap your evening.
Yeah.
You can talk about anything in the world. But let's not talk about the Sox loss tonight, okay?
Okay.
They ate up an hour of our show.
It was a great broadcast.
It was. It was a great broadcast.
Len Casper, DJ.
And I guess it's worth mentioning that next week will be the only other time that we'll be preempted by baseball.
But you're going to hear a great baseball broadcast.
You are. And we will be here.
Yeah.
So for all you folks who are kind enough to text and say, where are they? What's happening? Have things changed at the station?
Mm-hmm.
No. It's just
here.
A long-time agreement with another radio station. When they have a sports conflict, just as we occasionally have a sports conflict, they step in and they take a Northwestern or a Hawks game for us.
Sure.
And we take a White Sox game when they have
a conflict.
Yeah. And the Bears won. So there. So, again, you don't have to have anything great and wonderful to talk about. Just be able to to string a couple words together. Be the
to make a fist.
Yes, be the
pick up the phone.
Be the cherry on top of our 4-hour show tonight. The icing on the cake.
So the last call coming up. Stay with us at WGN.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend.
All right, people. It's time to go home.
Yep.
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 Losing time.
Losing time.
Head on out. So let's go.
Yeah.
You don't have to go home.
Really?
Yeah, you kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
No, you can't stay here. Yeah, that means we are at the end of the show. We got a bunch of calls to choose from. I have not looked at the phone bank. I'm going to do something original.
Okay.
We're going to take caller number one. We've
caller
not
number
done
one?
That in forever.
Do we have a number one on the phone
We've
line?
We've got a number one on the line.
And that would be, let's see, who is caller number one?
Is that Mel?
I think that looks
Sign
like
in.
Mel, is that you?
That's me. That's me.
Hey, Mel.
Number one, yeah.
Where are you calling from, Mel?
At least with somebody, I'm right here in Chicago. Now, I know now I'm gushing in that sense because you guys and I go back a long time ago.
Uh-oh.
How far do we go back?
Okay, fine. Like I said, this is my gushing, but
okay.
I mean, this is a real kick for me. Let's start with Johnny, for starters.
Yeah.
There was a graduation at Columbia.
Yeah.
There was a floor-to-ceiling mirror that a young lady walked in because she needed a hairbrush to brush her hair. And I was right there in that salon.
What?
Said, sure, come in. Should I be a little more specific?
Go ahead. Yeah. Please.
Yeah. Okay. No, this is great. Okay, now, that was either you or with Barbara at the auditorium, what have you.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I'll just continue, okay?
That's a slice of my life that you've just reminded me of. That's weird. Because now...
Tell me more about my child bride.
I remember.
Well,
why were you there?
My goodness, comma... I was there. Well, I was there from January 75 in that location till about a couple years. Actually, we were in the same building, but in a different location.
Yeah, right.
But this goes back to January 75.
Wow.
So you might have come in maybe late 70s, maybe very, very early 80s.
No. You're right. Late 70s.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Okay. So I'll just shoot like maybe 78, maybe
yeah,
in that area.
Yeah.
So long before Johnny and I were Johnny and I.
Yeah, that's right. Before
yeah.
we were him and her. So did you have an encounter with Steve at any point?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Really?
Uh-oh. I'm scared.
Wow.
Steve?
Yeah?
Steve, we're going back. There was a street called Campbell, west of Lane Tech. Right where the helicopters and
the GN studios?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we go back to then, we met and there was a 45
record?
7-inch, Have Some Popcorn. And that was like an instrumental. It was a sharp piece of work. And we talked back then. You know, this is when Eddie Schwartz was on or what have you.
Wow.
But like I say, I mean, I sound like I'm 19 going on 17, but actually I'm legal right now.
Okay.
You've got some great stories, though, Mel. This is crazy.
Well, I have plenty of stories. I've got to say, I'm not quite in the... accompaniment of a 21-year-old, but trust me, I'm over 18.
Okay. I trust you.
All right.
You've been a lifetime Chicagoan then, right?
I've been here all my life, and just to give you an idea, I also went to Senn High School class of 63.
Did you? And I was 10 years after you. How do you like that?
Why are you? Are you normally up at this hour of the morning?
Eddie used to say this. Believe me, I get a little astrology or what have you. 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning is great if you're going in from one room to another for obvious reasons, but or for farmers gathering the eggs. But I'm a night person. I've always been a night person.
Yeah, just like Steve.
What did you do before you, I take it you're retired, what did you do before you retired?
No, I'm still a bouncing 79-year-old, and I work on Mondays. I still cut hair.
Okay, wow. All right.
I cut hair, and I also have a bottomless cup for philosophy and psychology, so I have a great one-liner to share with you real quick.
Okay.
Wait till you hear who the author is of this thing.
Okay.
All right.
Ready?
Yep.
All right.
Okay. I like deep, so here we go. The greater part of our happiness or misery depends on our dispositions and not our circumstances.
I agree with that.
Who did that 400 years ago? Dear Martha, as in Washington.
Really?
Ah.
Really? Yeah. You
That's
can
pretty profound. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have all the toys. I mean, believe me, I have a land phone that works like a Mack truck or a Fuhrhoff truck, and which can go down any gravel road you want,
really?
Johnny, regardless. Yeah, these land phones, I mean the cell phones,
yeah,
have a big invisible sign saying, uh-oh, we're going to give you a replacement.
Yeah.
And this is planned obsolescence.
You must have been listening to the first part of the show.
Yes.
When I was railing.
When we were talking about the tension that you could cut in the studio.
Because my phone.
Because of Johnny's cell phone.
Had turned into a paperweight tonight, and I had all of my prep for the tonight's show on the paperweight. Yeah.
Go
ahead.
I'll tell you. See, now we're going back in history. Excuse me, they say use guys.
Use guys, right.
Okay, here we go. I remember Steve was saying, you know, we got this thing called a computer. We got something. I don't know, but as it is right now, it's serving as a cocktail table.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yes. People don't believe this. We bought it for $666 from QVC. We should have known it was this devil number.
That should have been a claim. And it literally, it stayed in that box functioning as an end table for months.
I put a doily on it.
We finally took it out, and I tried to work with it. To this day, it has the most confusing. In fact, that weird story, true story, I just came across the manual for this
a
week
horrible.
Ago.
It was like another language.
It is still one of the most indecipherable manuals for anything that I've ever come across. Mel, it's been a kick talking to you. Thank you so much for hanging out with us for as long as you have and for calling tonight.
For giving us some fodder to talk about on the way home, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I had forgotten all about that moment in my own personal history. Mel, you're going to get a WGN Radio logo t-shirt. You certainly deserve it.
Yeah.
And you're getting your own desktop weather station from American Weathermakers Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. They won't be comfortable until you are. AmericanWeathermakers.com. And as I like to say, it's become a bit of a collectibles item. So yours is coming your way. Thank you.
This has been a fast show, a bit of a shorter show, which reminds us again, next week we will probably be starting somewhere around 9:30, 10 ish.
Right.
And that will be after the Sox game next week.
But let us say thanks to Julian and keep her the big plug. Big plug Bob. Ron and Sylvia in the newsroom for Gabe tonight. We appreciate every one of you for tuning in.
Next week, Patrick Crispin will solve some computer problems, and we've got some other surprise guests. But watch our Facebook page, and we'll let you know some of that stuff. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Talk to you next week.